Daniel chapter number 10. We've been studying how to have a victorious Christian life. We learned that there's a lot of red flags that alert us to the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. After we are knowing that, we have found out so far that there's six different weapons that God has given us. Parts are defensive. One so far has been offensive. And we're going to talk about another offensive one tonight. Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 12 in the Bible says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the truth that we've been learning, that we, as your people, can have a victorious Christian life. Now bless the things that we'll learn. Help us to apply them to our life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've learned that we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world and the flesh and the devil don't want us to do anything that's right. They want us to attack us on a regular basis. They want us to fail. They want us to give up. And we noticed the Bible tells us that there are some weapons that we've been able to obtain, or some flags that warn us that we're going into a battle. Let me give those to you real quick. When our attitude is affected, when we get an attitude that's affected, that tells something's wrong. We're in a battle. Okay, when we have this onset of depression or discouragement, that's listen, I'm telling you, that means you're in a spiritual battle. When you think about quitting or giving up or running away from things, that's telling us you are in a spiritual battle. We dwell on things of anger, or we get bitter about people, or we get bitter about the past. Those are red flags. Well, look out, you're in a spiritual battle. When we become numb to the Holy Spirit, when we just don't get excited about spiritual things, like we don't want to read our Bible, we don't want to pray, and we don't want to witness, we don't get excited about hearing about spiritual things, look out, you're in a spiritual war right now. And if we don't address these things immediately, when we know these red flags come up, we'll end up to get consumed by the world, the flesh, or the devil. Then we learn that when things affect our ability to live, like we don't want to live anymore, we want to get away from it all, we want to just get away, then we want to escape, those are telling us that those are things that are happening on a spiritual level, on that spiritual warfare. We can't see these things, we just know that they happen. And as they happen, we feel them, we sense them, we know what's going on. We don't know why. Have you ever felt like crying and you don't know why? Mm-hmm. You're in a spiritual battle. Okay? You ever feel discouraged and you just don't know why? Things are going around you that are going positive and things are going good, but all of a sudden you just don't feel right, and that's because you're in a spiritual battle. Listen, the devil's a liar, and he's the father of it. He invented it. He does it better than anybody else in the whole wide world does. And so we have to be aware of those things. So when we lose our resolve about our life, when we have no purpose left, when you just don't seem like, oh, I have no reason to be here. Listen, you do. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Because you're on your way to heaven, there are other people looking to you to give you the gospel message. There's nothing more wonderful in all the world than to watch someone become born again, where they take their faith and they place it in Jesus Christ, and now heaven becomes their home. And that's our purpose. If nothing else, God needs you alive because there's somebody He needs you to talk to. If you're still alive, that means your job here isn't over. Is that right? God has a reason for you to be here. Do you ever talk to somebody and they say, well, I'm in my 90s. I don't know why I'm here. Well, I can tell you why you're here. Because God has not finished with you yet. You still have a job to do. There's still people that you need to affect. So if I wake up tomorrow morning and you wake up tomorrow morning and we breathe the air and we go, I'm alive, then you have a purpose. Your purpose is to give out the gospel message. But the devil doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose. See? He doesn't want you to live for God. He doesn't want you to sing His praises. He doesn't want you to be a witness. He doesn't want you to be a testimony. He doesn't like that. So that's a red flag that goes up. When our mind becomes clouded or confused or we become negative, all that's from the devil. None of that's from God. God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. Amen? How about no joy or no peace? No thankfulness. We're full of anxiety and frustration. All of those are flags that we're in a spiritual warfare. Our spiritual attack then affects other people around us. We don't even realize how many people around us are really affected. Then we find out that there's some weapons. that we can use, some weapons that God has given us. We have the weapons of the truth. We are loin girded with truth. Then personal righteousness on a breastplate of righteousness, or salvation righteousness and personal righteousness. Then we find out that God gave us the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All these are the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All these that we've talked about so far are things that God has given you and I to overcome these things when they affect us. There's no greater offensive weapon you have than the Word of God. Get to know it. Get to love it. Remember it. Read it. Give it all the power. Listen, the devil hates the Word of God. You take out that sword of the Word of God, you start using on him, he has to flee from you. The world has to leave you alone. When things like this happen, it changes things. So we've got to get the Word of God in us. Now I'm going to give you another one. Number seven, prayer. Prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians, where we've talked on a lot in the weeks past. In Ephesians chapter 6, as we looked at the other verses, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation," verse 17, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So God wants us to pray. That's an offensive weapon. That's what I get to do. I get to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and go after the devil. But while I'm going after him, I got someone to call on. Reinforcements. Hey, I need your help! And prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything. There is nothing that prayer cannot change. Here in Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 12, we see Daniel realized the sin of Israel. We talked about this at the very beginning of the study. And he confesses the sin of Israel. And he wants to understand more things from Scripture. And he wants to understand some things from the Word of God. And he wants to do some things. So he starts to pray. But he doesn't get an immediate response to prayer. We do not always get an immediate response to prayer, but that does not mean our prayer has gone unanswered. Amen? So, he starts to pray and it doesn't get anywhere. So he keeps on praying, and notice how the response comes from the angel that meets with him. And he said unto them, "Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before the Lord, thy words were heard." You know what that is? Prayer. God hears our words. "And I am come for thy words." So what was the response? It came because Daniel prayed. Why? Because prayer changes things. Prayer changes things and gets a hold of heaven like nothing else can. Listen, it's great to sing Christian songs. And I'm not opposed to Christian songs. I sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs all the time. I listen to songs all the time. But can I be honest with you? Songs aren't praying. Can I tell you what else isn't praying? Thinking. Thinking is not praying. What do you mean, preacher? Well, we sometimes go to pray to the Lord. And we start to pray and then we stop praying and we start thinking. Because thinking and praying aren't the same thing. Now here, I'm going to talk to you. Are you ready? I've been talking to you so far. So I've been communicating with you. Now I'm going to continue to speak to you as sometimes we do to God. Now, are you ready? Did you hear me? Because thinking isn't praying. And oftentimes, we'll start to pray. But the flesh comes around while we're trying to do spiritual things. And while we're telling God about something, we start to think about that thing that we're telling God about. And now we're trying to find some solutions. But you know who's trying to find the solution? We are. See, I'm not supposed to take my burden to God and then take it back from God. I'm supposed to take my burden to Him and leave it there. Give it to Him. And so I'm not going to look for a solution. I'm going to ask God for a solution. And then as He opportunities start coming towards me, I'm going to ask Him for the right solution. Because I want Him to lead me. I don't want to lead me. When I lead me, I'm always in trouble. Anybody else in that boat besides me? Good, yeah. So then I need to follow Him. I need to follow Him. So I need to pray. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says this. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need." How many are in a time of need right now? Okay, so Hebrews 4:16 applies to you then right now. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. What is that? That's prayer. Hebrews 4:16. That we may obtain mercy while we do what? Pray. And find grace in the time in the time of need. So I'm in a time of need. What do I need? Grace. Whose grace do I need? Grace means something I don't deserve, or God implies gives something to us. Okay? So there's nothing I deserve. I already know that. I don't deserve anything. Everyone in this room has told me at some time or another, and everybody who's ever come into this room has told me at some time or another, they don't feel worthy about such and such when it comes to God. Everyone has told me that. I've said that as well, haven't I? Why? Because God gives us things out of grace, something we don't deserve. We don't have to deserve anything. My children didn't get food on the table because they deserved it. They got food on the table because they were my child. They didn't get a roof over their head because they deserved a roof over their head. They got a roof over their head because they're my child. I get oxygen to breathe every day. Why? Because I deserve it? No, because I'm God's child. God supplies my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Because I'm His child, not because I deserve it. None of us deserve anything. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all guilty sinners. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, the last part of Revelation 21 and verse number 8. So we've all lied. So we're all guilty. So none of us deserve anything. So when I'm in a need, I still don't deserve it. So I'm going to go to God in prayer. And I don't really deserve God's help. No, you're right, we don't. But God said He's going to give us grace, something we don't deserve, in our time of need, when we go to Him in prayer. Sometimes when my kids were little, they would have gotten themselves into a conundrum. At least that's what I called it. They'd get themselves into a mess. And they'd be having problems with something. And all of a sudden I'd come out and I'd find them, maybe it was on a bicycle, they had the bicycle all apart. And they couldn't get it back together and I'd say, well, why didn't you ask me? I would have helped you. I was taking care of that for you. Or maybe they had ripped something and they're trying to fix it and they can't fix it and it's cut. Or they broke something and they're trying to glue it back together and they got themselves into a mess of some sort. And rather than asking for help, they tried to fix it on their own. And you know what? They always made it worse. They didn't mean to. They were trying to fix it. They were trying to do the right thing. All they had to do was come to their mother or myself. And we would have helped them with it. We would have fixed it for them. We might want to know what happened. Why did this happen like this? That's what they were trying to avoid, telling us why it happened. They're trying to avoid that little fellowship time we were going to have. It doesn't mean they're going to get punished. And see, that's what we try to miss with God. We're worried that God's going to punish us for something. He's not going to punish us. Our punishment's already been paid for by Jesus Christ. It's all been nailed to the cross. Amen? It's over. But when we have a need, rather than us trying to fix it, we need to go to Him in prayer. So when we see these red flags come up, and I saw them come up in my life this week. I had some of those red flags come up in my life. And I'm sure you did as well. And as those red flags have come up, I need to run to God every time in an offensive manner. And allow Him to fix it. When I was a young man, I know you won't believe this, but I was kind of a troublemaker. I was the littlest guy in my class, there was this guy, his name was Arden Wise, and Arden Wise failed the third grade 3 times. And when Arden and I met in the third grade, he was the biggest kid. He was huge. He was like a giant. And here I was, a little kid. I had a big mouth and he had no brains. And I had the brains and he had the muscle. And buddy, when they put me next to him in class, we became buddies. Well, we became buddies because he tried to steal my cookies and I fought him over them. And though I lost, he got respect for me. Amen. But he didn't get my cookies, so I guess I really won. And we became friends. And I wasn't afraid of him. He wasn't afraid of me. And we became buddies. And everywhere we'd go, we'd do all sorts of things together. One day, I'd gotten some people upset. And again, I know that's hard to believe that I could ever upset anybody, but I got some people upset. And so Arden and I would walk halfway home together, because by the time we get to where he would turn up his street, I would go turn left and go down my street. So he'd turn right and go up his street. I'd turn left and go down my street. And as I'd go down my street, there was a little set of woods between where he'd leave me and where the houses started on my street. And I was walking home, and Arden had gone up the street, and everybody knew that if I yelled for Arden loud enough, he'd always come running. No matter where he was, he'd always seem to show up. And so I'm walking down, and I knew Arden wasn't around anywhere, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a bunch of kids running out of the woods. I looked over my shoulder, and I knew all of them. And I knew where they were coming after. Me. And I looked down the street and I saw my dad's car in the driveway. My dad was never home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I looked behind me and they're coming, and I could see Arden's way up the hill on his side of the street, and there's no way he'd ever hear me screaming. So I started to do what every red-blooded American boy would do. I started running as fast as I could, screaming for my dad. Daddy! I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran as fast as I could, and right as I slid inside a door screaming for my dad, those boys were right at the screen door. My dad was over 6 foot tall and weighed nearly 300 pounds at that time, walked to the door and said,
"Can I help you boys?"
And they went, "Can Doug come out to play?" And my dad looked down at me and said, "You want to go out there and play with them?" And I went... And my dad said, "I don't think he wants to come out, fellas. Think you boys need to go home now." Oh, they were disappointed. And they went home. My dad looked down at me and said, "What did you do?" And I went, "What all kids do? I don't know what I did. Pick what it could have been," is what was going through my mind. There were all sorts of things I did to them boys. My dad said, "You need to stay out of trouble. They're going to kill you." And I thought, not with my dad around, they won't. Listen, I could have tried to stop and face those boys head on. And they would have ripped me from limb to limb. They would have beat me good. But I did the right thing. Started yelling for my daddy and ran towards home. That's what prayer is. The world and the flesh and the devil, they want to beat us to pieces. Arden Wise, our buddies around us, aren't always there to rescue us. But I know who's always ready, and that's my Heavenly Father. All I got to do is call on Him, and that's all you have to do. He'll meet your need. He'll take care of you. It's grace. I should have been beat up that day. I'm being honest with you. I should have been beat up more than just on that day. But my dad was there. And you know what my dad gave me? Grace. You know what my dad exercised towards me? Mercy. He could have said, "Hey, Doug, go on out and play with those boys." No, Dad, no. And my dad would have said, "Listen, you got yourself into this, you get yourself out." We think that's how God would respond. But it's not true. Look at our verse again in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." So I'm not just going to come. Well, listen, when I was screaming and running as fast as I could, I was coming boldly. Amen? And I was looking for mercy, I was looking for grace, and I was looking for some power. And that was my dad was going to supply. And he did. And my Heavenly Father does the same thing. Psalm 66, verse 18 and 19 says this though. It's something we must keep in our mind. "If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. But verily God hath heard me, and hath attended to the voice of my prayer." So God's going to hear my prayer. So I need to keep my short prayer list. But the truth is, even if we're in sin, can I tell you something? Where's our sin? It's all been washed away. Is that right? As far as the east is from the west, as far as God has separated us from our sin. So He hears my sin now because I'm His child. I'm sorry. He hears my prayer now because I'm His child. I said sin. He hears my prayer. My sin's washed away. He doesn't worry about that. My dad knew I had done wrong. or else them boys would not have been chasing me. The boys wouldn't have all been there to gang up on me. My dad knew something was wrong. But he was still there to defend me, to care for me, to protect me, and take care of the issue. So we need to pray. Let me give you a few things about prayer and we're done for tonight. Make much of prayer. Make much of prayer. Keep a hotline to heaven. Keep a hotline to heaven. Number two, prayer is calling headquarters for spiritual reinforcements. That's what I was doing. I was calling for spiritual reinforcements. That's what God wants to do for you too. God's looking for us to be consistent in our personal prayer life, not just spotty or haphazard. Listen, my dad and I, we talked all the time. So I had no doubt that my dad was going to be there to defend me, to protect me. It's not like I never talked to my dad. It's not like I never saw my dad. It's not like I ever spent time with my dad. If I didn't have a relationship with my dad, I may not have been able to know that I could have called on him. But I knew because I had a relationship with him, a regular everyday relationship. Every day, my dad and I talked about something every day. I wasn't afraid of my dad. Well, I was afraid of him when my mama said, you got to wait till your dad comes home because he couldn't handle it for me. And that meant I was going to get a spanking, and I didn't want that spanking. But I'd rather have had a spanking from my dad than to face life without him. See? I don't have time, but one of these days I'll tell you a story about fireworks, okay? Firecrackers. And what I did in the state of Ohio here, it almost got me in jail. And when they said, when the principal pulled me over and I got in trouble, he said, in the school, and said, we're going to call your parents. I said, call my dad. Because my mom would have killed me before my dad got a chance to get to me. And I knew my dad was there. Because we had that relationship. That didn't mean I wasn't going to get in trouble. Oh no, trouble came. But I knew I could depend on my dad. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love my mother, but my mom was a lot more emotional about these things than my dad was. My dad was going to handle it very detailedly. By the way, that's the way my Heavenly Father is too. He handles it step by step. So He wants us to have a good relationship with Him, a regular, normal part of everyday life. So let's discipline ourselves to the place where we do talk to Him all the time, and we trust Him. We trust Him with things. There's an example of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. Verse 22 through 24, where the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and was not, for God took him. He had such a personal relationship, but he walked with God. Everybody knew that. Everywhere everybody went, they always knew Enoch was a man who spent time alone with God. And one day God said, here's what I think, okay, they're just walking along, just Enoch and God, and God said, I think we're closer to my house than we are to your house, so let's go to my house instead. And he was not, because God took him home. He didn't die. I'll say that again, he didn't die. But he had such a warm and wonderful relationship with God, he just walked right over into heaven together. I look forward to the day I get to spend time with God in heaven, but prayer is the key difference. Prayer makes a difference. Listen, I have two offensive weapons I know for sure now. I have the sword of the Word of God. But can I be honest with you? I can shout for my Father a whole lot quicker than I can pull out my Bible. I need to hide His Word in my heart that I have it available to me. But my mind sometimes doesn't work that quick. But I always know I can shout for Daddy. Help me! There are so many times in my life that I can't even count where I've just had to yell for some help. And He's always been there. So let's pray. Let's spend time with God. Father, I thank You so much for what we've learned tonight. Thank You for Your Word. I thank You that You've given us a defensive weapon called prayer, where we can call upon You and You'll hear.